Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel, I believe it's going to bless you today. But I want to go today for a few moments to the book of Matthew, and I want to talk about an aspect of the Christmas story that maybe you haven't thought about, and I won't preach long, but you need a word today, and I've got one for you. Sometimes when we have high expectations, it changes our emotions and even can change our conduct. When you understand that your conduct is changed by your expectations, that makes a difference. If you don't believe me, watch your children, if you've got little ones, get up in the morning, because they have high expectations in the morning for what's going to be under that tree. And you don't have to get them and beg them. And some of you are going to be wishing and longing, just sleep in, just sleep in. They're not going to sleep in. I don't care how long you stayed up putting stuff together and wrapping it. They are not going to sleep in. They're going to get up early because of their those same children, when the Christmas holiday is over and they got to get up and go to school, you're going to have to pull them out of the coma because they're not going to be excited. Expectation changes our conduct. But I want to show you something in the Christmas story. What if you follow a star and it leads you to a stable? The Magi, the three kings that brought the expensive gifts on that first Christmas, followed a star because they believed that the King of Kings was being born in the earth. And they followed the star, but it did not lead them to a palace. It led them to a stable, to a manger, to a hole in the wall, to a filthy, filthy animal pen. And there, a baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes, pieces of strip left over from someone wiping their hands in a barnyard. Their expectations were not met. And I want to question you today, what happens when you follow a star and it leads to a stable? What happens when all you're thinking about is the star and how glorious and how grand, and when they arrived on the other side of it, it was anything but that. It was a barnyard. It was filth. How do you react when you follow a star? And that's how life does us. Sooner or later, you're going to get stars and you're going to get stables in life. And you can't have one without the other. That if God gives you a star and some great, glorious thing that He gives you a glimpse of, and He directs you and guides you in that direction, and you know He's done it, and you know there's something great that's happening, but before you get to the beauty of the star, there will be a season when you will go through the stable. How do you react? Can you imagine the disappointment of the Magi when they ended up in Bethlehem? They were expecting a royal palace. They were expecting a royal court. But instead, it's a barnyard and a baby that is born to a peasant family. And they, in that moment, had to have unmet expectations. I know that they were looking for a palace because they went by Herod's palace looking for the child. They were looking for wealth and power and all of that that would be in the palace. But instead, when they got there, they end up in a stable. And I couldn't help but think about our lives, because sooner or later, all of us end up in a stable. Every one of us have had times in life when we follow the star and we look so promising in a season of our life, only to find ourselves in a stable with unmet expectations. I've seen people who started out so hopeful and so filled, start a business and put everything in it and the economy make a turn. And they started with a star. I'm going to do this and it's going to do that. And then things turn and they go through the stable season and they find themselves confused. What do you do when your stars turn into stables? Sometimes in marriage, you see married couples start out and they look so promising, so young, so beautiful as they're being married. You see them in a place of tremendous possibilities, their dreams, their stars, they're reaching for the stars in their relationship together, only to see, perhaps even for someone this Christmas, it all end in a divorce court. And now you find yourself this Christmas in the stable instead of in the stars. I thought about how that sometimes on your job, you work so hard, you give it everything that you've got. You try so hard and you know that you're going to get that promotion and you know that those resources are going to come to you only to be passed over and somebody else gets the promotion and you feel so deflated. You reach for the stars and now you're in the stable. We had a young man in the church who had a terrible accident this year, a teenager, and he was an athlete in his high school years and all the dreams that he was reaching for, and he had an accident on his motorcycle and had to have part of his leg amputated. And I watched that young man as he went through being in the stars as an athlete and having great things happen in his life, and now he's hit the stable this year, but I watched him in the stable. I watched him come during the revival. I watched him witness. I watched him when he went through multiple surgeries and had setback after setback. And his parents were worried that he would be bitter toward God. But when he went through the stable, he didn't give up. He kept on praising. He kept on coming. He kept on serving. And he had a whole row of young people that got saved in the revival because he said, I know God can be in a stable, not just in the stars. If you know that's the truth, say amen, somebody. Sometimes you follow a star and it doesn't lead you where you want to go. And in that moment, these three wise men give us clear direction of what to do when you've chased the stars and you had big dreams and now you find yourself in a real struggle in a circumstance that you never thought you would be in. That beautiful family, it started out as a star. It's a dream picture of a family. And maybe this Christmas you find yourself in a stable. How could something so beautiful become so messy, so broken? Here's what the wise men teach us, two things. When your stars become stables, this is what they did. They began to look for God in the stable. You see, wise men of all ages have found out how to handle different and difficult situations. Number one, you don't panic about your problems. You hold steady when your life moves from stars to stables. When everything goes wrong and everything is less than meeting your expectations, that's the time when real wise people decide, well, if he was with me when I was up in the stars, he's with me while I'm down here in the dirty stables. He's Emmanuel. He's God with me. Whether I'm up or whether I'm down, whether I'm good or whether I'm in the mud with the animals, God is with me. And he's in the stable. God is somewhere in this stable. If you're in it this Christmas, if you feel discouraged, If you're looking around and you're hearing all the Christmas songs and you're hearing all the beautiful stories and seeing all the warm emotions that people are having, and somehow your life feels like it's gone from stars to stables, the Lord wants you to know that's where he was found, not in the palace, not in the star, but in the stable, in the situation that was lower than what you expected to be at. Even this Christmas. You know, the Bible never makes light of the lives and what happened to people in the scripture. I thought about Joseph and how he had a dream of stars bowing down to him in that dream. God was going to take him so high that stars would bow down if you read the story of Joseph. But before that happened, he followed the star. He went after the dream and he ended up in the stable. You remember his brothers threw him in the pit and then they sold him into slavery. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and ended up in prison for a crime he did not commit for 13 years. He went from a star to the stable, but he looked for God everywhere he went, from the pit to the prison. There's this little phrase that says, but God was with Joseph. But God was with Joseph. And I've just come to tell somebody, sometimes I cringe when I hear people say things to me like, you'll ask them, how's it going? And I've had people say, oh, Pastor, it's going just perfect. Everything is going just right. That's how I know God is with me. Well, I tell you how I know how God is with me. It's really, I appreciate the high times, but most of life is not stars. Most of life is, I'm not being negative, I'm just getting real. Most of life is stables. And I tell you what I found out, real strong Christians don't just praise God in the stars, they praise him in the stables. They say, Lord, you're good all the time. And this Christmas, even if you're in the stable, look for what Joseph found in the stable. Joseph said to his brothers, he said, you meant it for my evil, but God, listen, I found God in this stable, and God meant it for my good. I found God and I found good in this stable that would have destroyed a lot of people. I wouldn't be where I am today if God hadn't met me, not in the stars, but in the stable. He used it all for his good and his glory. I thought about Job and how that he went through bankruptcy and he went through bereavement. He lost 10 children in one day. He went through boils and sickness and disease and sitting on an ash heap, scraping himself with pottery, because sometimes the only thing that can comfort you is somebody else's broken pieces that they allow you to use to help heal what they're going through. It says, I made it through, and you can make it through. God's going to use the broken pieces of situations in your life to heal other people. Hallelujah. Because he's the God not of the stars only, but he's the God of the stables that break your life to pieces. He's still God. And I know I'm not supposed to preach on Christmas Eve. I'm supposed to act religious, but I feel like preaching this morning because somebody needs to know that the fact you're in a stable doesn't mean God's not with you. It's actually proof that God did give you a star and he does have a plan and he's purifying you through the stable. You're going to be able to handle where God's going to take you. Put your hands together and give him the praise and give him all the glory this Christmas. Job lost it all, but he found God in his stable. And he said in the end, I know my Redeemer lives. And God restored him double. What about David? David had the stars. He was in the palace on top of the world, only to be fleeing from his own son Absalom, who tried to kill him. And then he goes from the palace to a cave, to a stable. And it's in that moment that we find out who you are. It's in that moment when you not just are on top of everything, but when you're at your lowest low. The Apostle Paul wrote powerful words like, be of good cheer. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He did not write those words staying at the Hilton. He wrote those words in a Philippian prison. And he said, I found God in my stable. I've been beaten with 3,424 stripes. I've been beaten with 120 rods. I've been snake bitten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been through disaster after disaster. They stoned me and left me for dead. And all I can tell you is his grace is sufficient. And the more that I go through, the more I find God in the stables of life. And he's using it all for his glory. And it was Paul who said, listen to what Paul said. He works all things together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. The difference between a weak Christian and a strong Christian is in the story of the Magi, because they look for God. Strong Christians see God in both the good and the bad, not just the good. You might be walking through a stable season, and all of a sudden you say, is this it? How did I end up here? How did my life end up in this place? Is this it? I followed the star and this is where I am. Remember, wise men have the ability to find God in the stables of life in a dimension you'll never find God when everything is stars and beautiful and good and lovely. Wise men, secondly, they find in the stable God. And they offer, listen carefully, their very best when they're in the stable. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they were expensive gifts, and they gave their very best worship. Not in perfect circumstances. Not when expectations were met and they were getting everything they had ever dreamed of. But I love these men because they set the example. They could have, because it's natural inclination for us that when things don't meet our expectation, our conduct changes, our attitude changes toward God. But when they saw God in this filthy stable, it did not change their worship. They took gold. They could have said, I'm going to hold that back and give that to Herod on the way back. But instead, they brought the best worship they could, their frankincense, their myrrh. They were burning incense and worshiping Jesus in the worst conditions that life could offer. What I'm trying to preach to you this morning is there comes a time where you offer your best to God in the worst. That's when you don't back up, you don't hold back, you don't say, I can't do it, I'm not going to do it. But when your marriage is in the stables, you have to get back up and you have to offer your best. You don't hold back, you don't withhold, you keep on loving. Let me tell you the difference between people who make it, average people and above average people. Three words, and then some. Because above average people love people and then some. Above average people forgive people and then some. Above average people help people and then some. Average people just give it a little bit, and when things get rough, they quit. But oh, if we could learn that when you're in the stables of life, that's when you are to give your greatest worship. That is when you are to consecrate yourself like never before. They gave everything they had in difficult circumstances because they understood whether I'm in the stars or I'm in the stable, he is so good. He is God Almighty. He is Emmanuel. And if I walk through the fire, he's the fourth man in the fire with me. Praise the Lord. I want somebody in the stable, not when you get out in the stars, but I want somebody in the stable in some situation in your life. It's so messy. Would you throw up your hands and give him a gold, frankincense, and myrrh praise right in the middle of the mess? Take a moment and praise him. Wherever you are in the prison, praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Got a bad report. Families in shambles. Praise him. That's what wise men and women do in the stables. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want you to know today that when other people quit, you give it the extra effort. Jesus said, if a Roman soldier asks you to carry his backpack, he said this to Jews, you, and he asked you to carry it 1 mile, he said, you go the extra mile. You are to give the extra effort in the stables of life. Forgive and keep on forgiving. Love and keep on loving. Reach and keep on reaching. That's what wise men and women do, because love never fails. Hallelujah. The last thing that I want to show you is this in verse 12, after they found God in the stable. When your life turns from stars to stables, what do? See God in there. He's there. He's working all things for the good. He's there. What do? You give it your best effort. You give it your very best. You give it everything you've got. In the stables, you hold steady. You don't panic because you've got problems. I have Emmanuel, God with me. And he's going to work all things together for the good. But then it says this, after they met and embraced God in skin in the stable, the Bible said in verse 12, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed from their own country and they went another way. You can't encounter Jesus and leave the same. You might have came in one way, but you can leave another. You can leave this place with faith, hope, and love. You can leave this place, and I promise you, if you're in a season when the star in your life that you chased after has turned into a stable, and your family's in shambles, or your life is in shambles, or you're on top of the world, but you feel so empty, the message of Christmas is when you encounter him, you don't have to leave like you came. You can leave free, you can leave forgiven, you can leave knowing that whatever season I'm in, stars or stables, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, he's there. There's an old Christmas hymn called Little Town of Bethlehem. And I read the story this week of Philip Brooks, who wrote that hymn, and he had never been to the Holy Land. This is how he wrote it. And they took him to Bethlehem where Christ was born. And he said he got out on a hill and he was overlooking a field, and he realized it hit him. He was born in this area right here, and he grabbed the pen and he began to write, oh, little town of Bethlehem. But listen, he wrote the last verse, and here's what it says. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend on me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. Oh, come to me. Abide with me. My Lord, Emmanuel. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people.
when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.